Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
We are back, episode 27 of the JRD Hogcast. How you doing, Jordan?
Man, I am tired, bro. Did you know it's hot outside?
It is definitely hot outside.
Did you know that if it's hot outside and you work outside, you feel how hot it is outside?
Yep. A lot of hydrating happening, so you might hear a water bottle or two.
Yeah, just go ahead and get that out.
Yeah, let me just start off with one.
Yeah, go ahead. It's been a damn scorcher. Oh, he wasn't ready.
Sorry. I wasn't ready.
You're still drinking.
Still getting a drink. Media days, we had that going on. I'm jumping around a little bit on the rundown. I know I see it down there, but there's plenty to talk about on the whole
media
side
days,
of things.
I mean, like we said last episode, just means football is getting closer.
Yeah. You know.
It is getting closer.
We should have a guest on one of these times.
Like, what kind of guest? Just a guest just to talk to?
Well, we're kind of leaning into, you know, football season. And there's also some, obviously, high school football starting.
Yes.
Some two-a-days, football camps, seven-on-sevens, all that good stuff has been happening, wrapping up, starting, all of that. So, why not?
Go baseball. Baseball.
Yeah, well, let's go get a baseball coach. No. Let's jump in the old time machine and get your old coach.
You know what? I like that idea. We should do something like that sometime.
Huh. How about we do that on episode 27 of the JRD Hogcast? So,
oh, shit.
That's right.
He did.
We have an interview with Coach Burns of the Ozark Hillbillies, and you'll be hearing that here in a little bit.
We got that recorded yesterday.
Sure.
Yeah, we did that. Real nice of Coach Burns to jump on. I'm not saying this because he's on the show, but like I have three tiers of coaches in my lifetime, and that time, you know, that era of my life, football and everything, and he legit breaks the top three.
Coaches have huge impact.
I'm not going to put him out there because, you know, favoritism and stuff, but he's always been one that haven't been able to keep in touch with him like I'd want to, you know, life and everything. But yeah, it was awesome for him to come on, and we had a good time, and hopefully everybody that's listening enjoys it. I think it was a good interview. It was our first interview, man, ever.
It was our first interview. It's one of those deals that, well, just like the show, we'll continue and get better. We thank everyone for listening and,
right,
you know, interacting at JRD Hogcast on Twitter. There is an Instagram out there, but that's going to probably get closer to when we got more events that we're going to, because that's a picture platform, right? You can't just be throwing up, you know.
What are we going to take pictures of? Empty football field? Sad emoji?
Empty football field, no turf, because... Again, it's
natural grass.
Again, some of that natural grass.
Hey, did you see that picture?
Phil still doesn't even know. His whole thing thinks it's still artificial turf. Just saying.
Oh.
Expert. But then again.
Did you see the before and after picture of Mike Irwin put on Twitter a couple days ago?
Oh, yeah.
When he first started to now with the football.
40 years? Did I do?
40 years, man.
He's been in the biz for 40
Dude,
years.
It was so crazy, though. Like, you look out behind it, and you're me anyway, I'm saying you, but like me personally, I'm looking, I'm like, what direction is he looking from? But he was looking south onto the field.
Yeah, same part of the hill. It was
completely different.
Yeah. Like, that's one neat-looking high school stadium they got there. Oh.
Oh, that was...
Times.
Things happened on
times
that
Times have
that
changed. And, like, the entrance on, let's see, would that be the east side? The east side was crazy, the slope to it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just how much work they've done and how much it's evolved. You, 44 years. Yeah. And look at it right now. Enclosed. We've got wild hog fountains. We've got giant jumbotrons on each end zone. Like,
yeah.
SEC.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to the interview, though, did you I know I did. I left the interview, and I'm like, oh, man, I should have asked this, or oh, man, I should have asked that.
Yeah, so we had a few that we laid down and kind of figured beforehand, but just talking with him and kind of flowing, it's like there were just so many. He was just, you know, there's so much stuff I honestly wanted to ask because it would just go in so many directions, but... Then again, we probably would have had a 3-hour interview with Coach Burns. Yeah, I honestly feel like that's where it could have been. And really excited. Hopefully, we can get down there and go watch.
Oh, we're going.
We go watch
I'm
one
putting
of
time.
Those.
I actually I want to look up, again, being a Ozark alum, I want to look up the Boonville game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's the first game of the year.
Is that the rival?
That's the rival. Okay. We need to go ahead and put that time in now for work.
Let's go ahead and do that, and then we'll get you in a Siloam one. So
we gotta get your Siloam coach on here.
We'll reach out to old Brandon Gray.
Hey, we need to get him and Coach Burns in here. There might be a little bit of a rival starting there now.
And there might be. Yes, Ozark did meet him in the what was that? The Elite 7-on-7
Southwest Elite. Yeah.
So
right off, that's how you know things are going good here. We just find out that Ozark beat them, and then the following week, we get the Ozark head coach in here with the JRD Hawkcast, who happens to be hosted by a Siloam Springs alum.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry, bro. Poetry.
So yeah, I had to you know, mention that a little bit in our interview and let him have that. So, I mean, he's building something in that for that conference, and you'll definitely hear about more of that in the interview.
I can attest, man. He's a grinder. I'm not. I mean, I played under Coach Johnson and Coach Burns at the time was defensive coordinator, but Coach Johnson was a stern, intimidating kind of coach, and Coach Burns was definitely. I'd imagine he's probably kept some of that, but he may have evolved now. But then he came in after a 4-6 season, my sophomore season, and all off season long, 4-6. If we weren't hustling hard enough, you want to go 4-6 again? Didn't hit somebody hard enough. You want to go 4-6? That's how you go 4-6. But he came in as literally he had a what's the word? Legend behind him. He rumor had it, and I should say this is one of those things I should have brought up during the interview, but rumor had it is he would do workouts in a sauna. Like, that's just kind of what, whether or not it's true, who the heck knows.
That's one of those that's being said in the locker room because he's yelling at you at 4-6, and you're like, that beast must be doing workouts in the sauna or something.
No, he came because his brother, I believe his younger brother, who's now the principal at Ozark, was a coach at the time. And so we were asking him a little bit, and I don't remember if that started from him or if, you know, small town Ozark, he came from Alma, and it, I don't know, we were scared of him. Dude's a big man, very big man. So I enjoy getting to talk to him again. I haven't, like I said, it's been years, and we're going to try to get him on again. Sometime during the season if he's got the time.
I mean, other than that, really, I didn't see it in the rundown, but just for some of the folks that didn't know, they've got the big recruit barbecue cookout, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be on next Friday. So that, what's that date? I don't know. Anyway, 2 Fridays from now, and probably the Friday after this is released. So We gonna get on Luke, and it's going to be released on Friday.
This one here?
Yeah, this one right here.
I'll put him on the spot right now. I like it.
I'll put him on the spot. We'll see what he says here on the messages.
Yeah. Live chat in as we're looking at it. But you got anything else you want to cover? And oh, we got a response. You got anything else you want to cover before we let them hear the interview? About, what, 20 minutes long or so?
Yeah. We'll just we'll lead right into it. Again, this is the head coach of the Ozark Hillbillies, and we just kind of look into the next season, got a few questions from him, and I guess reminisce about the old times with Mr. Russell here. So Take a listen.
Coach Burns, welcome to the JRD Hogcast. Thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. It's hot. We've been staying in since we had junior high team camp this morning. And once we got finished with that, I ate some lunch and took a shower and trying to stay cool and get hydrated right now.
You weren't out there with your shirt off, were you?
No shirts off. No, we got to keep that t-shirt on. Don't get sunburned.
Yeah, there you go. Well, like I said, thanks for joining us. We got a few questions for you, and I'm going to take it back for the listeners. I actually got the opportunity to play under Coach Burns back, man, that was like 13 years ago, 14 years ago now. But
wow, yeah.
You started back in 2005, and I just kind of want to know personally, did you think you would still be in Ozark 13, 14 years later?
Well, it's a great place to coach. You know, the people are great. I grew up down the road in Alma. It kind of reminds us of me and my brother. My brother's the junior high principal here. It kind of reminds us of Alma back when we grew up. You know, everybody knows everybody. You know, everybody supports the sports teams here. So, you know, it's really a hard place to get away from. With all the opportunities we have, we've got a lot of businesses here in town. And then, you know, we like to hunt and fish, and there's lots of opportunities for that as well here. So it's a great place to coach and teach.
Well, that's awesome. And we also, correct us if we're wrong, but you're the longest tenured coach in Ozarks history?
I think I'm working on that as far as the head coaching position. I don't know exactly how many years Coach Ford was here off the top of my head, but yeah, it's I'm getting closer. I'm getting a little older here, so I'm getting up in the years there.
You're not gonna catch Coach Gage, are you? Just as far as coach in
general. Coach in general, yeah. I hope so. I got a few more years left in me here, so but yeah, he retired a couple of years ago now, and still around, helps tape and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been a fun ride. We've had a lot of good times. Had a few, you know, down years, but for the most part, we've had a heck of a run here the last few years.
Hey, Coach Dylan here. So, coming off your conference championship and then an undefeated conference season, looked like that was the best Ozarks had since 2012. How do you keep that momentum going into the season you're looking to now?
Yeah, we just try to keep challenging these guys, these players, whether it be on the weight room, the field. We've got, you know, some different workouts we've added in, some different, you know, weight room type stuff, you know, with the Vertimax. We're using some of that to help our speed and vertical jump and stuff. You know, we attend the team camp, the 7-on-7 tournament that keeps us kind of, you know, polished. We get to work with these guys throughout the spring and the summer. We bring them in 3 days a week, June and July. So we're able to, you know, keep them in pretty good shape, you know, year round now. And any of those reps we can gain from the team camps or 7-on-7, it just helps us get ready for the fall camp. And, you know, we've had a really good camp at Fayetteville with some of those bigger teams there with the helmet shoulder pad camp and then the 7-on-7 tournaments. We've done, had a big one up at Shiloh this last weekend and, did really well. You know, we won a couple of games, played some guys tough, but we got a lot of reps with all of our guys, especially on Friday, and then you know, played the tournament on Saturday. So it's been good for us that way.
Is there any players that we should be on the lookout for this season coming up, or any that you're anticipating a big turnaround for?
Yeah, we've got some guys coming back. I think it's going to be a big impact. We've got some seniors kind of leading the way. Ethan Foster, wide receiver, cornerback. He's got really good speed. We took him down to Dallas for a rivals camp, ran a 4.5 laser time. So I think he's one that's going to break out this year especially and be big time. A guy that's really worked his tail off, Ty Williams. We put him in at wide receiver, and then also playing some free safety for us. I think he's going to be a big help there, you know, as a senior step up. Tyler Sanders, a name you guys probably heard a bunch last year as a sophomore, stepped in and filled in at running back and free safety. And, man, he played great. He was on several of the honoree, you know, teams, Arkansas Democrat, Northwest Arkansas Democrat, some of those teams like that had a good offseason as far as winning some awards. He was also one of our all-state players last year as a sophomore. So, yeah, really good athlete. Bryant Burns, my son, he'll be a tight end for us, outside linebacker. He's played, you know, since ninth grade in the playoffs and come up. And he did a really good job as far as, you know, helping lead the way with the weight room and stuff like that. He's done a good job with us. But he's committed to Army. He's going to go play at Army right now. And he should be a big factor. Eli Munnerlin, running back, defensive end, led us in sacks last year. I think he had 12 sacks last year. So he's a heck of a rusher off the edge. Keyson Durning, a linebacker. He was a sophomore last year. He did junior this year. Stepped up. He's not real big, but, man, he is really scrappy and really comes downhill running hard. Duke Walker is going to be a sophomore running back. Really good speed. Also a good baseball player. He's committed to play for Missouri. Kane Satterfield, senior linebacker. He's got some big hits out there on film, so he's a heck of a hitter and a player. Up front, we got a lot of linemen. I'll just name a bunch of these guys off. Brock Burns, Hayden Smith, R.J. Carnes, Will Timmerman, Lawson Jackson, Tanner Russell, Logan Ward, Briar Yates, Caden McCauley, Hayden McKinn. Those guys up front, it's going to be the biggest we've had in here since probably Thule, Bonner, back in y'all's age, really, Russell, the biggest we've been in a while. So I'm looking forward. We've got a lot of 300-pounders in there in the weight room, especially bench press and over, you know, 300 pounds as well. So those guys up front is where it starts, offensive defense. We've got about 18 linemen right now, so we're hoping to not have anybody go both ways. And then probably the biggest turnaround.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
And probably the last year, the biggest turnaround is probably going to be Daniel Wolves. He didn't get to play, but just a few plays against Darnell and a few plays against Pottsville last year. He had a quad injury, just couldn't get him well. But he's healthy and he's weighing about 200 pounds. I think he's about 5'11". Going to be a running back for us. He had a really great sophomore year and then just injuries kept him off the field last year, but I think he's going to be a big turnaround difference maker this year.
Well, when I was kind of looking in and doing my research here, it looks like you guys are developing quite a pipeline or dynasty, for lack of a better term, with the 7th grade, junior high, and all the varsity teams winning their conference championship and going undefeated in the conference.
Oh, definitely. We've got some great players coming through. We've got some parents that are able to get them to and from workouts for us and keeping a good eye on them. We're not having to track, these guys down to get them to practice and stuff. So that's for a coach, that's, a huge, lift, off our shoulders, just trying to get them there. And when they get there, they're playing hard. As soon as I took over, we started bringing the 7th graders in, early. We also started with the 3rd through 6th grade, bringing those guys in as well in the summer and working them out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right now, this year, we've got a big turnout. We've got over 60 players, 3rd through 6th, coming in, and we're running plays with them and getting them ready. So that's, we're starting them early. The weight room has been a huge advantage. I think we stay in there, and that just takes those average kids and makes them, a great player by putting some muscle on. And that's been our difference maker is the weight room, I think, and just the attitude of the kids here. The last few years, it's been a big help. And the coaches, they put in a lot of time, whether it be on Saturday, Sunday, watching film, or coming up here and helping these extra 3rd through 6th graders. For an hour, a couple times a week. So we're able to teach the same schemes and techniques, and those players are able to put it out there on the field and come home with a win.
How much are you personally dealing with the younger classmen yourself?
We all kind of do it. There's just a couple of guys that don't work with the seventh grade. They're Coach McAnally, our defensive coordinator. He's also the dean of students at the high school, so he doesn't necessarily help during the day with seventh grade, but he'll help, you know, on Thursday nights, you know, making adjustments there. And then Coach Brockenberry, the same way. He's got a full schedule of teaching, so he doesn't help. But everybody else helps. Seventh grade, junior high is our seventh hour. And then we work in the eighth hour, so they're there for a period and a half, even the senior high. Guys that mostly do, you know, senior high, we help with everything. So they're all learning the same verbiage and, you know, getting taught by the coaches, of, you know, whether it be seventh grade, junior high, senior high, they're all getting taught the same thing. So that, that helps, when those kids move up to the next grade. And, we all got a hand in it. You know, somebody sees something on film that we need to add as a play or whatever. You know, we're all there to voice our opinion, and you know, it pays off to have great, great assistant coaches there.
That seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems to be a little bit of a different culture than back when I played. I don't really remember in junior high interacting with the high school coaches too much. Am I mistaken that, or is that something that's changed a little bit over the years?
There was some separation there. You know, when I first started in 98 here with Coach Ford, we all rotated around. I think when we got to Coach Johnson and some of those guys, we had, I think, eight coaches at the time, and we had kind of four and four split, you know, not maybe as much interaction. And now we're down to seven coaches, so we all, you know, kind of chip in. So I think that's been a, you know, it's been good to have everybody coaching everything, you know, kind of feel.
So you've already mentioned the 7-on-7 drills and all the camps. You've I saw that you were one with Fayetteville and Casey Dick. Most recently, I believe it was the Southwest Elite 7-on-7, where I believe your guys picked up a win against my old high school in Silent Springs. So congrats on that. Yeah. What would you, I would assume that is really helping your guys out and kind of building up and getting them better, all the camps and 7-on-7 that you've been doing?
Yeah, definitely. You know, football is kind of, you know, one of those kind of last sports that kind of would be able to compete during the summer. And you had baseball, they had the Legion programs and some of the travel teams. Basketball had AAU and, you know, teams like that. But now football is able to get in there, and we got 8 days of competition that we can use, whether it be a 7-on-7 or a team camp, you know, with a senior high bunch. And that helps. I mean, we were able to, instead of starting, you know, later in August, you know, and getting 2 weeks of time to, you know, get your plays in, get the guys conditioned, you know, kind of like what when I grew up, now we're able to bring them in 3 to 5 times a week, you know, depending on, you know, what town you're in. But we bring them in 3 days a week, and then we throw in a 7-on-7 or a team camp once a week, and it just keeps those guys sharp instead of starting back over basically in August. You know, it keeps it fresh in their mind what to do, how to do it, and you know, we're coaching them, you know, all through the summer, so it helps to have the carryover in play, you know, calling and things like that.
So the big news, obviously, in Arkansas in the past couple of years is the new head coach at the University of Arkansas, Chad Morris, and one of his biggest deals was an open-door policy with the high schools across Arkansas. Have you been able to take advantage of that in any way?
Oh, definitely. Coach Morris, he does a great job. You know, kind of following since Clemson and SMU especially, but went up last year with during the spring and listened in on some of the quarterback meetings and things, and then we went to a couple of the prospect camps with a couple of guys, and I got to meet a very nice coach and the coaching staff as well. Coach Lunny, he calls on us. Yeah, he'll stop in and check in and see how the Hillbillies are doing. But yeah, I really like the staff. I think they're getting things turned around, getting some great prospects up there, and I think they're going to have a big turnaround this year.
So you mentioned your son as being one of those key players this year, Bryant, and being tight end and outside linebacker, and that he's committed to Army and going to West Point. So I just was wondering, how do you kind of balance that with, you know, the coaching side of it and then, you know, being ultimately a father and what that decision and decision-making process would have been like?
Right. One of the things that growing up, you know, I have some great coaches in high school. Coach Vines was my coach at Alma, and his son was my age, Danny. And then I also got the opportunity in 2000. I went back and coached with Coach Vines and those guys for about 4 years before I came back to Ozark. And that was one of the things he told me, that he, you know, when coaching his son, he may have been, you know, too hard on him or whatever before. So that was some things I gathered from coaching with him. Also, Coach Johnson, he coached his son. So I've been able to watch some guys, and you know, I try to balance it, you know, coaching at the field house, and then, you know, I'm just dad at home. That's what I try to do, and they kind of keep it, you know, separated there. But, yeah, he's had some great opportunities this last spring, getting to travel around and meet some coaches from different schools and kind of get an idea of where he wanted to go. And, you know, I'm super proud of him. He's got a good head on his shoulders and wants to go to West Point and go into anesthesiology part of the medical field, and they'll pay for it, and all that kind of stuff. And it's great. One of the best schools in the world, and also gets to play football for, you know, one of the best teams in the nation right now. So it's a big honor, and I'm trying to save up some money for some airline tickets and things like that right now, just to go watch him play. So that's what we're kind of working on right now.
That was a question I was going to ask you. How are you going to be able to? I know you. I imagine you probably still come in on Saturdays during the season and do the film and everything. You're going to be a busy man during the week for sure after he leaves, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, Huddle makes it possible now. I can watch film on my phone, so I'm going to have to do some figuring out how to do that on the plane, or, you know, things like that on a Saturday, and then get back on Sunday and do some. Technology has really made coaching a lot easier nowadays. So we usually break the film down after on Friday night and watch, you know, things like that, you know, correct some mistakes or whatever, and then come back and start breaking down the next week's film Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be a lot more on me, but it'll be worth it.
Absolutely. Well, from us, we want to congratulate him and you and your family on that. I know that was probably a huge decision to make, and it can't say it was the bad one if he's going to West Point. I mean, that's prestigious school there. So congratulations from us to y'all.
Well, I appreciate it.
But we're going to ask a personal question here, and then one that we're going to ask everybody. But the one that we came up with for you is, what led you down the path of coaching?
It's just the relationship that I had with the coaches that when I played, those guys were able to you know, help me get a scholarship as far as, you know, teaching me the right way to play, or the, you know, keeping me out of trouble and things like that. So that was my kind of biggest determining factor. I got to play in college at Henderson State, had some great coaches there as well. And that relationship is just kind of giving back. And so as I got into the coaching part of it, you know, that's what you got to do. There's a lot of kids out there that need help, you know, need a father figure or whatever. So we try to fill that role the best we can, and then, you know, help these guys get an education to start with. You know, I think, you know, that's one thing with athletics. You know, we're checking on these guys constantly to make sure they have a two-pointer, make sure they're in school. And then some kids, you know, don't have that if they're not in an athletic program. So it's great to be a football coach or whatever coach, because you get to help these kids, you know, get education and, you know, hopefully build some life skills that's going to help them down the road.
Well, and then we'll lead with, or I guess finish up with the question we'll ask all our guests, because ultimately this is a Hogcast. So what is your most memorable Razorback moment in your lifetime?
I can't remember the exact year, but I got to go up with Alma. We always had a great FCA program, and we got to go up and watch the Razorbacks in Texas. And I was looking back at the years the other day. I was trying to figure out which one it was. But I think we end up – the Hogs actually lost the game, but it was Arkansas-Texas for an SDA game. That was huge, you know, to get to watch something like that. I didn't get to go to a whole lot of college games growing up, but that's probably the one that got to stick out the most in my mind, you know, early on getting to watch them. Another Razorback moment, my son, my buddy, he was a he lived at Heber Springs at the time, was a Razorback busher there and kind of stuff. My son got to be a Brandon Burlesworth kid, so we got to go down the field when he was probably 6 or 7, something like that. I got a picture on the field there that we got to do that. So that's a great program with the Burlesworth kids and things. So we did that. And then just, you know, watching, I'm a big sports guy, and just watching them through the years. We had a couple of Alma guys go up and play for the Hogs, Skipper Thompson, Shannon Spangler, Kevin Mustin, some guys that kind of walked on and, you know, got to play some. Skipper especially, he ended up coaching at Alma when I was coming through. So I just wanted to be like those guys and get to play and you know, college football somewhere. You always hope to play for the Razorbacks, but that didn't work out for me. But that's one of the dreams, and I think that, you know, the Razorback give that opportunity for kids, you know, to kind of dream and, you know, go play for them. It's a special place.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, I'm not going to lie to you. When you agreed to come on here, I had this plan of messing with you, going back into the time capsule. And
yeah.
If I remember right, you're a bit wittier than I am, so I don't want to give you the opportunity to embarrass me on my own show here. So I decided not to. But, man, we sure do appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can maybe get with you during the middle of the season when you're maybe sitting at 6 or 7-0, and we can hear about how that's going.
Definitely. You need to come watch us, and I'll definitely give me a call, and we'll do this again. It's been great, and I appreciate you guys promoting the Ozark Hillbillies on the show and football in general. So thanks for doing what you guys are doing.
Thanks,
Absolutely.
Coach.
Absolutely. Good luck to you this season.
Okay. Appreciate you guys' call. Thank you.
And that was Coach Burns with the Ozark
Hillbillies.
Honorary
first.
The first guest of the JRD Hogcast. We thank him so much for being on, talking some hillbilly football with us. Again, thanks, Coach.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, and know you're listening to this, and we are going to a game. We are going to a game. Let's make it the Boonville game. I'm serious.
Make it the Boonville game? I'm all for a rivalry. It don't matter.
Oh, man, I'm going to get fired up down there, and then remember, I can't move like that anymore. Those kids probably whoop my butt. But one of the you could hear the excitement, you know, especially when we asked him a question, you know, who do we need to be on the lookout for coming in? Who's the biggest turnaround? He named the whole team.
Yeah,
like,
he did.
He's excited about all of them, which is good. I mean, I don't think that was coach speak. I think he was really excited about having all those guys, and he did mention the turnaround. But I mean, it seems like they're going to have a good squad on their hands this year.
I got to give the tip of the cap, because I was trying to lead him into it, and he eventually mentions his son. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, you got a playmaker out there, and I know it's your son, and he didn't lead with it, but
right.
His son is definitely going to be a big part of that program. As you heard, he's committed to Army right now, and another shout-out to him. Thanks for doing that, and I appreciate it.
Yep. Well, you know, so he mentioned the biggest line since he named off Bonner, and I can't remember those other guys that he mentioned, but that was about 2-3 years before my class.
Mm-hmm.
But then he snuck it in there, and then he's like, and your guys too, Russell. Like, hey, don't forget about us. We were some big boys too. I wasn't on the line, but I was tied in, and I basically was on the line, so.
Yeah. Yeah, weren't you going to ask him if – no, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. What did I tell you? Oh,
the offense question. No.
No. Oh, I had a few, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Coach, you can text me, but I just want to know, in your offense now, would I get the ball more than I did back then? But the one that I told you I was going to mess with him about, and as I mentioned, you know, he's a little wittier than me, so I didn't want to give him too many opportunities. But we were doing Max's. And he was on the squat rack, and he was the one, you know, down, 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 up, let you know when it's a good squat. I was probably trying to squat 700, 800. I don't know. No, it wasn't. It was like maybe 400 probably. But I was going, straining, giving her all I got. And I went up and he's like, nope, no good. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? No good. That was good. So I didn't get the squat.
Oh man. Well, that is our first guest. I mean, I'm so excited. Keep it going. We'll have another one.
Told y'all it was coming.
Yeah, we'll have another one. We'll have another one here shortly. But that leads us into our first segment, which is our Twitter dirt, which is brought to you by Elite Mobile Detail LLC. I'm going to hit that button.
Twitter dirt.
As Dylan mentioned, brought to you by Elite Mobile Detail LLC. Give him a call at 832-540-8013. Check out his Google page, Facebook page. Got the before and after pictures. Does really good work. I am going to start it off, Dylan.
All right.
I think this is funny. There is now an SEC officiating Twitter handle.
No. I did see that.
Somebody decided that they are going to start a Twitter page. For officials.
Why? Why are they going to open them? Oh, man, the mentions alone during football season.
So for the people listening that have Twitter and you want to know and you don't know yet, it's at SEC officiating. And their first tweet was, "Hello, world. This account will serve as your source for rules, videos, statistics, and activities inside the SEC Video Center." Go easy on us.
All right, at least I know. So that last part, I like it. So.
That's, it's just going, I'm following them, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
They already have like 25-something thousand or something like that, and they can't follow anybody, apparently, because they have zero. So I don't think that they probably want to follow
anybody. They're not even following Alabama football?
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
They'll be following them, trust me.
Yeah, they got to, right?
They going to get that check.
Oh, man. That's, like I said, that's a lighthearted one. I think that's going to be, dude, that's actually, you know what's kind of ironic about that is I bet you that page makes our Twitter dirt 15 times during the season.
Yeah, I mean, it might just be a segment. I feel like we just need to dig into the SEC officiating. Like, what are they saying right now? Because every week there's going to be something, some kind of borderline. There's going to be something borderline drama-wise or rule-wise that'll be happening, especially with some of the changes, you know, the overtime stuff. And did they tweak pass interference? No, that was NFL.
That was in the NFL, yeah.
All right. So my Twitter dirt is actually brought to you by SEC Mike. I'm not throwing the handle in yet, but this was his coverage of SEC Media Days that went on this week, and it was actually a quote from DeJohn Harris, Scooter. So it was actually in regards to the NCAA transfer portal, and he says, "I feel like everybody should have to sit back and earn their spot like everyone else in college football."
Did you see his whole statement on that?
There's another one. "I don't really like the transfer portal. I feel like everyone should sit back, earn their spot like everyone else in college football. I feel like highly recruited guys who hit the transfer portal always wind up eligible at another school, and guys at smaller schools have to sit out. So I don't really like the transfer portal."
Yeah.
And that was Scooter again. And we've touched on that. We had, was it Virginia Tech? I mean, that's not even a small school. Well, wait, he was transferring from Virginia Tech, trying to.
Who's this? The kid with the sick mom?
Yes.
Mm.
To a smaller school or
yeah,
to
I think,
Virginia
no,
Tech?
I think, yeah, he was trying to transfer, yeah. But so, it was blocked.
Yeah,
it was being blocked. Trying to be blocked, I'm actually not sure what ended up coming of that. But
and, I mean, how many former five-star quarterbacks essentially went into, and I'm just going to say it, I will, for now on, refer to the transfer portal as NCAA free agency. That's just how it's going to be. How many of those five-star, former five-star guys went into the free agency, and be it Fields, give me some other names here. I mean,
Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant, yeah.
Kelly was a four. He wasn't five. But
do we give Hurts? I mean, Hurts.
I was going to ask you about that. So
Hurts is kind of a unique deal. He was Hurts, a grad transfer. So the grad transfer rule.
Yeah.
Hurts
stayed. Yeah. Hurts could have, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And that's why he gained a lot of respect from me. I actually never really had any issues other than he played for Alabama, but he earned a lot of respect from me because he grinded and he still supported his team in different roles. And, you know, the SEC championship game, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have won.
Right.
So you gotta respect him. So, yeah, he's a grad transfer. But Kelly Bryant got beat. You know, a lot of people were upset he didn't come here. Me and you talked about it on here. We don't really care. You know, I don't understand going to Missouri. I don't know what was there for him, but
especially, you know, especially if you have like a second chance to get out of there too. Because
so does he gain a little respect from you there though? Because he
stayed with the school. I do
they're
have
banned
to
get from bowl eligibility for 2 years.
Right now, I mean, they're appealing all that, so. Something can definitely happen in the middle. They're definitely still, as of this moment, have something to play for. I mean, you always do, but they could definitely
change.
But
it's not guaranteed, though.
No. I don't feel like that's going to change in the middle of the season, though. I don't think, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, Missouri, go ahead.
If it does go into the season, it won't go past, like, week three.
Right.
Because at that point, they've got to start sorting different stuff out. I know it's early in the season, but you know, having 7,647 bowls at the end of the year, you know, you got to get that stuff organized. So,
yep. Well, especially now that you have 5-7 teams going to it. So,
that's been happening for a while.
Yep, definitely has.
You and I were having that discussion the other day. So, we were talking, I guess we can kind of transition into media day talk here for us, but, you know, Chad Morris obviously was asked questions and stuff like that. He had a quote that said, there are 52 freshmen and 28 sophomores on this team, you know, playing a lot of freshmen. He said, we're going to play a lot of freshmen. We still think that it's a bowl year, correct? This is kind of going off of our discussion that we had off air the other day. But you said 5-7 is not a bowl year.
I wouldn't be happy with that. Definitely got to be, you know, 500 over 500.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100% on that. And the 5-7, correct me if I'm wrong, those teams get in at that point by academics.
Yep.
Right?
The academic matrix on that side of things. And, I mean, that is a weird formula once you look into it and how they break all that down. Grad transfers don't pull. They do play into it. Graduation rate plays into it. Transfers play into it and all that kind of craziness. So I don't know if Arkansas actually is high enough to actually qualify as a 5-7.
Well, you said it. I was actually kind of leaning towards that, but then I was like, I don't want to be that guy. But you took that guy's mantle. So good for you. But what was some things from media days? We kind of mentioned it the last episode, but their media days just isn't. Is it safe to say it's a parade for Bama? And that's not even like Bama hate, I guess. But let's be honest, everybody there's at this point there to talk to Saban, and to talk to Kirby Smart.
Well, at least now they'll have to drive a little bit because the next 2 years it won't be in Hoover. So
yeah,
we got that
was
going.
St. Louis and Atlanta?
No, it's Nashville and Atlanta.
Nashville and Atlanta.
Yeah, so, yeah, the only thing good about it is you get a little bit more insight, but, you know, you're hearing this on the weekly, and you can get these because they're also going to be Arkansas media days and Alabama media days where the local beat writers are going to go through the locker rooms and be doing the same thing because they probably didn't get the opportunity at SEC media days. So, the only thing really good about it is it kind of marks the kickstart into football season because, you know, you're coming off of a dead period and you're like, oh, we're close. You know, we're you know, less than 50 days. I think we're probably around 43 off the top of my head. I can't remember.
A little higher, probably. So,
but, I mean,
it's 43 days until the Cowboys preseason opener.
Well, we don't care. I mean,
sorry. No, we do.
I don't care.
We do. We do.
So, what about, I mean, I saw some mixed opinions, but hey, he was getting asked the questions and he was answering the questions. People were like, oh, so we're sitting here on media day and we're talking about uniforms and turf and that kind of thing. Well, these are all things that are new to the program, reintroduced to the program. And the reason the media asks that is because they look at Twitter just like anyone else, and that's what's being talked about. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about the uniforms. We're guilty of it as well. So, and you're watching it. You know, if you're whining about it being said, then you're watching the coverage and you're
right.
You're adding to it. So, congratulations. That's why they're talking about the field and the turf. So,
if we came off of a 10-2 season, do you not think those jerseys would still be exciting?
Absolutely. I mean, it don't matter. It goes back to the tradition, and they brought them back and the era. And I mean, it was an exciting time to watch Darren McFadden in that jersey. And that's what ultimately it goes back to. And I think it's a precursor to them doing something to honor Darren McFadden as well.
Yeah. And it's going back to, you know, some good stuff. So I think, do we rip on fans too much here?
Maybe a little bit, but
it's like, I think that
we rip on the vocal majority, and I don't think all Arkansas fans.
That's
are
a minority
this.
Of yeah. the yeah.
And so
it's
you're out the, there. It, I'm sorry, you're out there making noise, and we're just gonna be making it back. So. That's our nature, and that's ultimately what
we don't
the talk
really
is.
Typically jump on Twitter to talk smack, really. So I guess I don't even think it's talk smack; just voice our opinion about the smack talking, I guess. But hey, we've offered people though if they listen and have any issues.
This is
how
a
we
platform.
Get it out.
I mean,
right.
There is a DM button, there's an at button, there's a hashtag. Yeah. You can use all of those to
there's
come at us.
Right.
There but might be a phone number.
But the point being is, if it wasn't the jerseys that were being talked about, it would have been something else, and they would have been griping about that. So I think we could win the national championship, and people would still be griping about something.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it's new to the program. It's SEC media days following a dead period. There's not a whole lot of talk unless you are coming off of a good season, which we aren't. So just kind of the nature of the beast. It's media, you know?
I mean, I think it's good for the guys that represent, you know, the actual players. Chad Morris is used to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the actual circus of it, you know, Harris and Sosa and Whaley, they're, you know, probably not used to the... Because it is crazy in those hallways and just trying to get anywhere during that media day. And it's probably safe to say that Skuda is the most underrated player in the SEC, I would feel like.
Glad you brought that up. Did you see the top 25? You see how that was worded here.
Are you telling me like top 25 players?
SEC players.
SEC players. Because we touched last episode on the top 10 linebackers.
At positions, right.
And he wasn't even on there.
Oh, well, that was in the nation, but he still deserved to be on there.
Yeah.
But so out of the... I'm just gonna throw this at you real quick. Out of the top 25 SEC players, this is a blanket, just SEC players. How many Bama players do you think's on there?
Probably more than half. So that'd be at least no. Am I way high on that? So
yeah, you are a little high.
So okay, well with that clue, 7?
8.
All right, oh, it's getting there. That was my
did
next Scooter guess.
Make it?
No,
he did. At 25.
25, yeah. I was like, if he did, it was 25. So, always, oh, man.
How is that? I mean, we're kind of beating a dead horse based off the last episode, but how is that, man? How is that?
I don't know. I really don't know if that's a guy you want to fuel. Like, if he if he stays healthy, he's going to have 10,000 tackles. I mean, go for it. Continue to fuel this kid's fire.
Absolutely. There's surprisingly though only two linebackers ahead of him. So maybe linebackers just don't get no love anymore. Yeah, there was a conversation the other day about SEC quarterbacks, just current and past, and how they don't translate very well into the pros for the most part.
Yeah, I saw something like that.
Do you agree with that?
I mean,
is the SEC weak at quarterback, I guess? Is that a legitimate question to ask?
I would have to say so if we're just strictly looking at the numbers. I mean, there's 32 teams. In the past decade, I can only probably name a handful of SEC quarterbacks that have done something meaningful. And one of those is honestly still Tim Tebow, because heck, he still won a playoff game. No matter how much you want to talk about it, he still made a impact in the NFL. Good, bad, ugly, it doesn't matter. He still had Tebow time. I mean, let's see. You got the Manning brothers. And, ooh, I mean.
So,
Stafford,
the, as far
Stafford
as,
definitely yeah. Stafford. So
as far as, I guess if you judge, how do you judge success in the NFL? That's a question to ask to answer this question. It's, I personally have never been a guy that thinks you judge a player's career based off of Super Bowl rings or appearances. I just think that's unfair. There's 53 guys on that team. You can't do that. So Stafford, you mentioned Stafford, just coming off the top of my head here, I don't think he's won a playoff game. But I still think Stafford has had an incredible NFL career.
Yeah.
He's the only one guy. You know, and he broke, I think he was the first one to break Marino's record. It's since been broken. But, I mean, you come in and that was, what, 6 years ago or so-ish, something like that. And when I say his record, yards in a season, and that's a big deal.
It's no fluke that he's still around by any stretch. But when you have an organization that bad, like, you got to at least have one steady piece. And he's stayed in there. He's definitely had different opportunities. I mean, he could definitely have turned down that crazy money and chased a ring if he wanted to, but.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really what football's about, honestly. So,
no, he's loyal. So,
and if we're gonna get into the whole, does rings make you a better quarterback and everything like that? You're definitely setting me up to kind of, I almost said it. give Brady a hard time, because I don't know about that whole GOAT moniker. You know, he might have a lot of shiny, but. That's a debate for a different day.
Just to play off that a little bit, then we can get off of the Brady thing. But the only thing I will give Brady, without getting too far into it, is he does have nerves of steel.
That's
probably the only compliment you'll hear me give Tom Brady. But
you have to with the guy on the sideline.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot, though. Is Dak Prescott having a successful NFL career?
No.
I will agree.
Yeah, actually.
Because his name was brought up, and I was like,
You actually watch him, and it's just not there. I mean, I guess Brady made his living in checkdowns, and.
Well, yeah, but also at the same time, Brady can make that throw.
Yep.
And Dak can one out of, like, 20.
There's times when it just seems like Dak he's oblivious to what's going on the field.
He
seems
to be a
pressure, anything like that, and I don't necessarily know. Like, his pre-snap is pretty awful.
Yeah, but we're kind of getting off base here. We can do a once the NFL season's closer. I think it's only right, us being NFL fans, to give a preseason outlook on our particular teams,
our respective teams. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
As the season goes on, I mean, we'll probably end up talking a little fantasy football we're in our own league together, and then talk some football as well, NFL, college, of course. So
right,
but that kind of wraps the media day and that tangent that we went on to,
whatever that was,
and that leads into our Burning You Up segment, which is brought to you by Ivan's Old Time Meat Shop.
Burning you up.
Ivan's Old Time Meat Shop is located at Rogers, Arkansas, 2101 North 2nd Street. You can reach them at 636-3636. And like we said, football season, all that stuff around the corner. What do you got to have? Brats, burgers, steaks. You got to do it. Buffalo, they got fish, all of it. Hit them up.
So I'm going to do mine first because it kind of goes off of what we just finished talking about, ironically enough. But my burning you up segment is Zeke being harassed again. Did you see this?
All right, I'll let you go.
Did you see this, though?
I mean.
So he gets into this.
The scuffle with the.
Was it a
security guard? I don't know.
Yeah.
The camera can do things. Let's just say that.
Yeah, whatever. But basically, the NFL investigated it. They said, hey, man, you're good. And Goodell had another chance to ruin Zeke, and he didn't take it. So to me, that tells you that he's innocent, or I don't even like using the word innocent. He didn't do nothing wrong. Well, then that broke at like 12 o'clock one day. And then 12:15 comes around, and it turns out he's being sued by the security guard.
Damages?
What the hell?
What? Like, so sued or press charges?
Aren't those the same thing? Are they not the same thing?
No, I mean, you can have a civil court, and the guy say, like, medical bills and, you know.
Okay, well, he's pressing charges.
Pressing charges? Okay.
So, but still, either way, it's freaking retarded. Just leave the man alone.
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't do nothing wrong. As far as the last thing with the girl and stuff, there was no film, you know, it was hearsay and stuff. But if he did, handle it. But this, it's actually caught on film, and he didn't do anything wrong. Hell, if anything, he should have gotten busted for a drunk in public or whatever.
I mean, he was gone. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, with a guy that's had, we'll say it, I mean, his character has been brought into question a few times. Mm-hmm. So with a guy like this, he still has to clean up his act and stay out of weird situations like this.
Quit putting yourself in the... Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with that.
You're a man making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Calm the heck down. I understand letting loose and everything, but you're a public figure, and just don't let me get started on that one.
Yeah.
But
anyway, that's mine.
Yeah. To stay inside that... state of Texas, we move on for me to that garbage conference that can't count and thinks their championships matter. That Big 12. Woo, buddy. So, in case you didn't know, there's one program inside the Big 12 that basically has a conference by the balls, and that's the Shorthorns of Texas. So, obviously, there's some kind of rivalry between OU and them, and there's some kind of river involved, I'm told. Obviously, this is all sarcasm. I know it's the Red River rivalry. Blah, blah, blah. Happens every year. And I guess last year, maybe the year before that, the whole horns down thing got brought more to light, and it was flagged. And before last year, before Red River, I believe, They were basically telling OU, like, hey, you guys need to cut it out. And so during, I don't know if it was the Big 12 media days or whatever it was, but the Big 12 officials had to elaborate and give detail on the actual ruling. And when it came to it, they essentially said, horns down, is an unsportsmanlike if it's directed at an opponent, and if you do it for too long, and then it just became more of the rhetoric or whatever.
Rhetoric.
That the idea is they're giving the refs way too much power. I don't like if the horns down is unsportsmanlike, how is horns up not unsportsmanlike? And at that point, you're opening a can of worms, and they're following the same black and white rules of the NCAA. So you don't have a Big 12 rule book, you have an NCAA rule book. So once you venture out there, are you going to tell me the gator chomp is unsportsmanlike? Are you going to tell me the hog call is unsportsmanlike? Are you going to tell me cowbells are? Those are. Yes. Shove those up somebody's ass. Those things are. But, I mean, so ultimately, the Texas, you know, like I said, they have Big 12 by the balls, and they get their way. Essentially, they're bitches. Take it. I mean, if you're gonna be obnoxious and have, you know, this and be throwing the horns every time, take it when they get thrown down in front of you.
Man, I'm just, I think this is the first time that Dylan has been flagged by our producer for using naughty words. I agree with everything you said. I feel like the horns down thing, though, came from the Oklahoma State game.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're going to get butt hurt because they turned it around. I mean, it's pretty obvious. This isn't new. I mean,
yeah,
it's nothing new to turn the short horns up, down, and make it look like a uterus, okay?
That's true, too. Oh, you're killing me tonight, buddy. You're killing me. Yeah. It's just, well,
I'm not wrong.
You're not. You're just, I'm at a loss for words. I feel like this is a good time to end the show here. That's
we'll end it. I think I got to call somebody to help Jordan out for the JRD podcast. I am Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan. All that stuff.
Shout out to Luke Griggs, producer extraordinaire. And again, we got Ryan Kinder for our outro song. Give them a listen.
Cheers!